Hello, everybody. This is Keith Music Man Hanilek with the Final on Vinyl interview with Stephen Edwards. How you doing, Stephen?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I had the pleasure of reviewing your piano music, your instrumental release back in August. It's titled Piano Music from the Movies You've Probably Never Seen. And I thought that was a very interesting title, and obviously you're a movie buff as well as a eclectic musician.
For sure. I mean, I've been so compelled and attracted to music written for visual media since I was a kid. I mean, going back to seeing Star Wars, and, you know, watching the greats write for visuals, and how I'm, you know, walking out of the theater not humming the tire screech, but humming the tunes from these great scores. And I just was wondering how I could ever do it someday. And here I am doing it. So never a dull moment.
That's great. So that was the beginning. How did you finally get to that point where you decided it was time to do that?
Well, I went to college as a piano performance major, thinking I was going to be the next Oscar Peterson or Vladimir Horowitz. And as much as I love playing, I realized I wasn't that guy. You know, performing is a whole nother world that it's kind of rare air if you actually do it and actually do it on the level that I was just used to going and listening to. And at the same time, I started to work. I got hired to work at Disney World in Florida as a staff piano player for an orchestra that they had there. And we had guest artists come every week, and several of those were noted TV and film composers. And I kind of, you know, cozied up to them and asked them a million questions, and they were all very receptive and, you know, very kind about it. And here I'm a kid from Michigan. So it was like I didn't really have any connection to L.A. or the business at all, and was wondering how I would ever make my way into that world. So that was my first inroad into, you know, meeting those people. And then one of the people that I met invited me to move to LA and gave me my first job, and I hadn't looked back.
Wow. That's very cool. It's like you just intuitively knew where to put yourself, and there you were at Disney World, and everything unfolded, and you followed that path. Amazing.
Yeah. And I just kind of, you know, I was single. I was, you know, just fresh out of school. I had no money, but I didn't have any obligations to anybody. So I just figured, what the hell, do it, you know, just try. Worst thing that'll happen is you know, the Churchill quote is success is defined as going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. You know, that's kind of how I felt. So
the album has 19 tracks, and I'm just looking at all the names of the movies. Very interesting. These are all movies you obviously saw and enjoyed. How did you end up coming up with that list? Did you really have to spend a lot of time on that? And did you put, like, film titles together and pick 19? What was that process like?
Well, it's a really good question. So all 19 films I was involved in, and almost all of them I actually wrote the underscore for. And in some of the cases in these films, I mean, there's a lot of different tracks there, but in some of the cases these were actually cues in the movie that were played on solo piano. And there's one of them is called, I gotta get the title. What was the name? It's called Piano in Innocence. What's the title of that one? It's from the Steven Seagal movie I did.
Let me see here. Steven Seagal movie.
What's the title? The title is Piano in Innocence. And this is a movie I scored in 2007 called Today You Die. And it's an action movie starring Steven Seagal. And there's a scene in the movie where the bad guy is in this sort of liar, and he's playing piano, and the lead character Seagal walks in, the hero, and he starts talking to him while he's playing this sort of almost new agey piano piece. So, you know, I was scoring the movie and I wrote the piece of music and I totally forgot about it. And about a year and a half ago, I got an email off my website from some music fan. I think he was in Germany, who really loved the piece and wanted the sheet music. Well, it's never been published before. I totally forgot I even wrote it. I told him it was somebody else until I went and looked at the movie and it was mine. I was like, wow, that's weird. So gave him the sheet music. And then when I was putting this album together, I was like, oh, that's a great candidate. Cause it's a piano piece that started off his life as a piano piece, was featured in the movie. Probably most people haven't seen it. And it was the perfect candidate to be included in the CD. So each one of the tracks has a story like that.
Interesting. I think many artists like yourself, they sell their sheet music on their sites. Is that something that you want to do or have done? Or
I've never, I mean, I've had a few people ask for sheet music. Actually, I probably get more requests for sheet music for piano music I've done that's used in film and television, because they'll use one of my piano pieces in a TV show and they'll want to, you know, they'll actually film it, right? So there'll be a piano player on stage. So they ask for the sheet music so they can shoot the piano player actually playing the piece I've already recorded, so it looks real. So I've probably got more requests for that than I have for people that just want the music so they can sit down and play it. So it's not really funny. It's funny, you know, the irony of it is that my late father and my family was in the printing business, and my family used to print all the United States Peters Edition music, which is a famous imprint. It's the green covers that you've probably seen a million times. So my dad would walk in the door when I was a kid with a box score, Beethoven, Brahms, Mozart, Chopin, all the masters, and 20th century stuff too, 21st century stuff. So it's funny, I come from a printer family, and then it all full circles. So there you go.
It happens for a reason. So when you walked in with all that music, did you grab it and go to the piano and try to play it?
Yeah, and I was taking lessons from the time I was 7. You know, and I mean, he would come in with like a Franz Liszt Transcendental Etude, which was, you know, miles and miles past my ability. So I would look at it and say, wow, that looks complicated. But, you know, some of the stuff I ended up playing, I still have a bunch of it that I was given when I was a kid. Because it comes in handy. Sometimes I need it.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be like a springboard to other things. You know, engages your whole process. Then before you know it, you're writing an entire album, right?
100%. I mean, it's the catalyst. It's the germ for something that comes later, you know?
Definitely. So do you have a personal vinyl collection that you treasure, and what are some of your favorite
artists? I have a vinyl collection that's in storage, and the last time I played vinyl was I made a documentary film about my mother called Requiem for My Mother that I co-directed. It's a story of a piece of music I wrote for her when she died. And so there was a scene where, I'll try to tell you the short version of it, but my late uncle was a songwriter. He was a businessman, but he wrote a novelty minor hit Christmas song in the 1950s called Little Sandy Slayfoot. And I have the 45 of the actual recording done by Jimmy Dean, the Sausage King. And so in the movie, I actually went on eBay and bought this old crappy record player. And we shot the 45 record on the, you know, spinning just to show that it was actually a record. And then we actually played the song in the film. And so anyway, yeah, I mean, that's the last time I pulled out a needle and a, you know, an actual turntable, but I have vinyl. I just haven't played it in years. I'm almost scared to play it because I'm scared I'd like it too much. You know, because the sound of vinyl is its own thing. It's like, oh God, I'm going to start having to buy records again. And, you know, keep vinyl around the house. And, you know, it's just such a different thing.
It really is. And my collection's out of control. I just can't stop. You know, I think I say that in every interview that I have. It's just, the sound's just amazing. And it's funny how, you know, growing up in the 70s, how it was just the norm. I really didn't recognize little idiosyncrasies in the music that I'm hearing now. And, you know, then going to cassettes and eight tracks, then cassettes, then the big CDs with a wonderful sound. And finally coming to the realization that CDs aren't, you know, the be all end all of sound. And I circle right back to vinyl where I started, you know, so.
It's been amazing. There's just something.
So who are some of your favorite? Well, I'm sorry. What was that?
Yeah, there's just something about the sound. I mean, like, I just couldn't hear the words.
So who are some of your favorite artists?
Oh, wow.
Your influences. I mean,
it is literally a rainbow of people. I mean, everything from, you know, the classical masters to jazz musicians to, you know, film composers, to, you know, it's everything from the Rolling Stones to John Williams to J.S. Bach to Coldplay to Jacob Collier to, I mean, it's just, I'm such a, you know, I get asked to write music in so many different styles and for so many different kinds of things that my taste every day changes because I get asked to wear so many different hats. So you know, I was listening to Led Zeppelin Cashmere last night and then listened to the whole 8-minute song, listened to an interview with Robert Plant where he was talking about why he thinks that's his favorite Led Zeppelin song of all time. Listened to it in my studio. Great monitors and, you know, really took apart the arrangement like I hadn't done in years and years.
Is that the one? I was just thinking, I'm sorry. I was just thinking, is that the one that goes da 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 da? Yeah, that one.
Yep.
Great album.
And, you know, I think you probably noticed this too because you're such a music lover. What I notice about music is when I listen to something and I haven't listened to it in a long time and I listen to it again, the recording changes. Now, obviously, that's an absurd statement. The recording doesn't change. It's the Einstein theory of relativity. Your perspective has changed and your musical experience has changed, so you listen to something differently than you would have 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years ago.
Exactly.
And I find that so fascinating. And you know, I take apart music like a CAT scan. You know, I can hear the string orchestra in the background. I can hear the bass. I can hear the drummer and the kind of, especially listening to Bonham play on Cashmere. I mean, it wasn't done to a click track. And, you know, tempo's all over the place, but it sounds, it's head bobbingly great, you know.
And John Bonham and John Paul Jones, right? That was the Bonham and Led Zepp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just a special, special synergy that band captured on tape, you know?
Yeah, what definitely was. I look at it as spiritual, and they were all connected, and it was, you know, meant to be. And they knew once John was gone, that was it. You know, it was over.
Yeah. Yeah. And a good run while they had it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's all about perception. I write about that all the time. And the funny thing is when I cover vinyl, I have to sit down in my easy chair. I grab a piece of paper and a pen. And I go through it track by track. But when I listen to music like yours or anything in New Age, I listen to it and I'm writing about it as I'm listening. It's a entirely different process for me, but it works, you know?
Yeah.
Because my perception is different every time.
Yep. Every time.
Really hit the nail on the head with that.
it never gets old. That's what I love about music. It's just, I know a little bit about music. That's what I tell people. Even though I'm considered an expert, I know a little bit, you know, and I'm always going to be learning new stuff.
I agree.
Last week I was working on an Apple movie, a really beautiful new movie called The Skies Everywhere. That's going to be on Apple next year. It was a story about a young girl who's a clarinet player, and her older sister's sort of the star of the family, and her older sister tragically drops dead of a heart arrhythmia, and then she has to sort of come forward and come out of her shell. And there's a bunch of scenes where she's playing clarinet on camera that I actually recorded the music for. And so, you know, huh? I was doing, you know, the Weber clarinet concerto, the Mozart clarinet concerto. I did a re-record of the Bach Gigue from the violin partita that was transcribed for clarinet and flamenco guitar. I mean, like, just the strangest, you know, synergistic combination of things that the director, because the way she was telling the story, chose, which I thought was brilliant on her part. And the movie is just fabulous. But I mean, like, that's something I wouldn't have done. I probably wouldn't have spent any time digging into those pieces of music. And then I had to, you know, digest them and spit them out again and record them and, you know, have an understanding of what's going on musically so I can convey it to the audience.
Right. And this is all through piano, right? Is that through piano or?
What's that?
And you can interpret it through piano. Is that correct?
Well, in this case, I actually re-recorded the clarinet part with a clarinetist, with a professional clarinetist. So, I mean, I go back to the piano to transcribe it, but I actually recorded a real clarinetist playing to picture to replace what they had just temped in a, you know, New York Symphony thing or New York Philharmonic thing. So they had to take it out because they didn't have the rights, and then we had to create it newly. So that's what I was doing. I mean, I used the keyboards and the piano and all the gear to generate the parts for the musician, but yeah, it was recorded with the real clarinet and real guitars.
So you're sought after to make this soundtrack music all the time. You're constantly busy?
Constantly. Literally last week I was working on four projects at the same time, which is a little nutty. One of them is a new reality show for the Peacock Network, NBC. And then one of them was this movie I was just telling you about. And then another one was a horror film that I wrote all the score for. And then the other one is a Broadway album for a singer-songwriter friend of mine who is doing the soundtrack before she does the play, kind of. So the music will come first before the on-stage part, especially during COVID. So
right.
I'm wearing a lot of hats at the same time. So.
But you love it, right?
Yeah, it's. I come to my desk every morning and it's like, okay, now what? You know, what am I taking on today? And it's super exciting, super fun. Yeah, and it's super interesting and always challenging, sometimes super frustrating, but that's the nature of work, you know? The nature of work. And somehow in the middle of all that, I squeezed out a solo piano record. So there you go.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to record that solo piano record that
I did it over several years. Some of the recordings, and some of those recordings are actually from the film themselves. And some of them are re-records because, like, remember the one I was telling you about, the Piano and Innocence, that track I actually recorded for the movie, but then in the context of the film, it just cuts off because he interrupts him. So he just stops playing before the phrase ends. So it doesn't make for a very friendly CD. You know what I'm saying? It would just sound weird if it just abruptly ended. So I just recut it in the same musical family, but I put a nice ending on it. So, you know, those kind of things. But, like, I'm just looking at this list. A couple of these tracks, like Intervention Main Title, what else? A Requiem for My Mother's Stride Piano, Schubert E-flat Trio from The Mechanic. Like, all of those were actually in the film. Those were actually taken directly out of the film. Theme from Roman Jewel, same. I mean, so some of them were actually used in the film, and then some of them were re-recorded because of contextual things, or off their transcribed, like Syndrome K Main Title, which is the last documentary I actually produced, was written for string orchestra and solo singer, and I just transcribed it for piano. So that piece started off as a piano piece, and then we recorded it with live orchestra, and then I brought it back to piano again.
So your process is recording, then you're actually doing the engineering and everything until it has to get mastered, then you send it out?
Yeah, I mean, in this case, I did have this engineer that I've been working with over 20 years named Steve Shepard, and I gave him the raw piano recordings, and he actually processed them and, you know, put them in a nice sounding room and mastered everything for me because it was the right thing to do, and also they were a couple, you know, some of these were recorded on different pianos. So we were trying to make it sound somewhat uniform. So if you listen to the whole CD in a row, it has some, you know, connective tissue to it.
Right.
Which I did very well. He made it have, you know, they made them all sound like first cousins. One of the other sicknesses I have is I collect Steinway pianos. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, over the recording of this album, there's actually three different Steinways featured that are now, you know, that's just kind of how it worked out.
So. And you're worried about collecting LPs? Are you kidding?
Right? I have five Steinways now, and I have three in my house, and then I've got the other two are visiting other friends.
I was going to say, where are you putting all these pianos? They're not small, you know.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately for me, I have two grands, and one of them is an upright in my house, and then the other ones are living in other people's houses, so I don't have to worry about finding a home for them. So it's kind of crazy.
This has been a very fascinating conversation with you. I never know what to expect, and, you know, getting an inside look to a process with an artist, you know, everybody's different, and, you know, your history and the way things came about for you and fell into place and how things have developed over the years is just fascinating, and really appreciate all of your time and look forward to getting this interview out there, and hopefully your CD sells some more too, right?
Yeah, I would love that. And thank you for, you know, all your insights and all your work. And it's so great to be on your, you know, part of what you do, because what you do is so important. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I wouldn't be doing it without people like you, believe me. So
awesome.
Please.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Well, you take care and have a good holiday season with all your loved ones. And I'll get this rocking and rolling right now.
Back at you. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.